welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we are going to take a look at MLW Fusion 193 Go Home Show for MLW One Shot next week, December 7th, at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. But first, of course, we have some news. It looks like the card for One Shot is shaped up. They'll announce a couple matches later on tonight, but we'll just cut out the middleman, because that's what I do here sometimes anyway, and bring them out now, since they came out through the MLW Newswire. First of which is a dual championship match for the CMLL World Historic Welterweight Championship and the MLW World Middleweight Championship. Rocky Romero with Selena De La Renta will be defending against Mascara Dorada. Dorada had laid down the gauntlet a couple of weeks ago, and Rocky has responded, so it is now official. In other championship action, this one's brand spanking new and kind of out of left field, but the National Openweight Championship will be defended as Ricky Shane Page will defend against Jimmy Lloyd. And so we haven't talked about this one because, well, it's new. They haven't even really laid the seeds for this specific match to happen. But I think it's interesting. Up until this point, Jimmy Lloyd has not won a match in MLW. He lost against Akira, and that was technically a title match that he also didn't deserve. And he was in a battle royal that he didn't win. And yes, he's wrestling tonight, and there's a 50-50 chance he will win tonight. We don't know yet. Okay, we know yet, because I watched the show, and you probably did too. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is when this match was announced, Jimmy Lloyd was over in MLW, and he's gotten two title opportunities. So, like, what do you do? Seriously, like, what criteria is there to get a title shot in MLW? So, I'm going to lay down the gauntlet, I suppose. Like, I want a title shot. I'll find somebody to challenge for the tag team titles. I'll lose 20 pounds. No, I won't. To challenge for the middleweight championship. Heck, open weight sounds fun. Like, I am an open weight as it continuously expands. Whatever. Let's just go out. Let's get a world title shot. Come on. Like, I haven't done anything to deserve it, just like Jimmy Lloyd. So, and just, like, is it a matter of smack-talking? Because I smack-talk Manders all the time, so does that put me in line for a tag team title shot? I don't know. But it just seems random. Like, yes, technically Jimmy Lloyd's feuding with the Calling, but, like, that doesn't mean it has to be a title match, because what have you done to earn it, son? But whatever. So that is looks to be what is rounding out Fightland. Not Fightland, excuse me, because I'm also bringing up the title card for One Shot, and they blatantly wrote Fightland Fight Plus card on it. Anywho, so rounding out the One Shot card is our main event, Alex Kane defending against Matt Cardona for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Leader of the Bread Club, Satoshi Kojima, also former member of the NWO and former MLW World Heavyweight Champion, fights Filthy Tom Lawler of WTF. In the featherweight division, Jinai Kai is defending her championship against a returning Maki Ito. And for the TJPW Princess of Princess Championship, Miyu Yamashita will be defending her championship against former MLW featherweight champion Delmi Exo. So it sounds to be like a pretty darn good card overall. Free TV next week, too, so sweet deal, yo. Be sure to check that out. Also, going along with that, we have a few more matches announced for the BN Sports Bouts, which is a fusion taping. Josh Bishop will make his singles debut against Matthew Justice of the Second Gear Crew. Second Gear Crew, in addition to their battles with The Calling, have also run afoul of WTF, most notably kicking Mance Warner out of MLW. So here's looking to get a manner of revenge, at least on Justice's part. It's also been announced that Alex Hammerstone Jacob Fatu 3 has been announced for these fusion tapings. Last two bouts of theirs were well-regarded classics within MLW, and I'm kind of excited to see where this is going, especially on free TV, yo. And last but not least, and most interesting, Selena De La Renta is going to make her MLW in-ring debut against Ichiban. I'm kind of surprised this is going to be a thing. Like, I am not opposed to it. I actually do not mind intergender wrestling, because stories can be told in all manners. Though I am going to assume this story is going to be similar to the time Cesar Duran got into the MLW ring, and there's going to be lots of shenanigans, and maybe not even a real match. But there's only one way to find out, and that is going to be to watch the card. So, those are some big matches announced for the Fusion tapings, and of course they've given us a whole list of folks also scheduled to appear, such as the rest of the Bomae Fight Club, Jesus Rodriguez, one called Manders, Love Doug, Tony Deppen, Kevin Blackwood, TJ Crawford, Griffin McCoy, Zeta Steel, Joe Dombrowski, The Main Event, Brett Ryan Goslin, Jay Bougie, Mr. St. Laurent, and the rest of the World Titan Federation talent as well. So that is going to be probably our last big update coming out of there, like, unless something big happens, knock on wood, that it doesn't, because that's usually a bad thing. All right, so that being said, we got the news out of the way. Let's check out Fusion, the go-home show. Tonight's going to be an anomaly. Usually the go-home show is kind of storytelling to remind everyone what the main event is all about, but considering there's only been like 2 weeks in between the last big event and one-shot, they have wisely did away with that, at least for tonight, and we're going to have a full Fusion card. So we are going to start things relatively hot. We get a promo from Matt Cardona and Steph DeLander. They are the king and queen of the death matches, king and queen of New York. The entire Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona family is going to be around. He puts over the fact that Kane tried to kill him, the Kane, and that's the only Kane that matters, not Alex Kane, tried to kill him, and he came back from that. So, like, what can Alex Kane do? And the answer to that is nothing. We have our introduction, and we go right into the Callings music. Jeff Cannonball is led to the ring by the Gas Mask crew. He is taking on Jimmy Lloyd in a Thumbtacks Pit of Death match, so that should be fun. Should be fun, yeah. Anywho, Cannonball, was the match starts, is Captain No Cell just shrugging off shot after shot by Lloyd. However, Cannonball decides he's had enough just standing there getting hit in the head, which is about all of his offense anyway, and decides to do something like real, like paper cut Jimmy Lloyd in between the fingers, in his mouth. Rough to see if you're not into that sort of thing. Lloyd tries to make a brief comeback before getting his face rammed into the tacks at ringside. Ultimately, the goal of this match, which I should have like prefaced this with, but I just really wanted to poop on Cannonball, is to chuck your opponent into the pit of thumbtacks. So instead of chucking his opponent in the pit of thumbtacks, Cannonball's just rubbing Lloyd's face in it. And I guess it could be considered sadistic. I think it's stupid, but, you know, pro wrestling, everybody. Pro wrestling. Anywho, he also, by he, I mean Lloyd, eats a bunch of thumbtacks, I mean, courtesy of Cannonball. Cannonball made him do it before getting punched in the mouth. Lloyd mounts another comeback attempt and works over Cannonball's hand, and it hits a big suicide dive, so it's actually kind of working at this point. They fight their way backstage, and somehow a camera actually gets to follow them, unlike when the one called Manders and Ricochet Page decided to brawl over the arena for a match. Speaking of Ricochet Page, he appears, he attacks Jimmy Lloyd, and a wild Akira appears to even the odds, allowing them to go to break and calm down, I guess, get a timeout or something. Anywho, come back from break. We are back in the ring. Cannonball is precariously placed on the ring apron, standing there, just taking chair shot after chair shot, because that's all he really knows how to do, as I've previously stated. Jimmy Lloyd just teeing off on him, even like chucks a chair a la Sabu. Finally, Cannonball has enough and just tumbles into and through the pit of tacks. The winner of this match getting his first win in MLW, Jimmy Lloyd. So this was a match. It's one of those things, like, you're either going to like it or you don't, and for me, there just wasn't a whole lot of action overall to make it really worth my while. I say this even as a fan of some, like, the deathmatch stuff. Do you think it's interesting that they got a camera to go backstage and they couldn't properly get one to go back, you know, a couple months ago at Slaughterhouse when Manders was taking on, you know, Ricky Shane Page? But, you know, what do I know? And it was because of creative differences or something of the like. But yeah, it was what it was. Well, and like, for me, it didn't trip my trigger too terribly much. But yeah, so at least Jimmy Lloyd got a win before he gets to go for a title. I guess that's something that puts him technically one up on me anyway. Anyhow, we're just going to move along from that. Quit griping, in theory. Tony Deppen, we're getting a recap of his saga where he put Kevin Blackwood on the shelf, refused to pay a fine, and then had to be suspended because of it. Him and TJ Crawford have formed an alliance, and as of last week, it looks like Griffin McCoy has joined that alliance, plus a guy that is suspiciously shaped like Tony Deppen as well, under a hood. And a hoodie, so we don't know, but it looks like Deppen's been reinstated, and in 2 weeks he will face Nolo Kitano. Following this, we get the one called Manders. He is out in the cornfields. He's crying. He's like an emo cowboy now. He is totally being Chris Gaines, which is a totally timely reference. Yeah, that reference isn't 25 years old or nothing like that. Anywho, yeah, so do yourself a favor and just, well, don't look up Chris Gaines, because no good's going to come from it. Anywho, yeah, he's really sad because his BFF in the world, Mance Warner, lost a match to Matt Cardona and had to leave MLW. So sad that he didn't go out and help his partner, even though it was practically a 2-on-1 match at the end of it. But luckily, though, Mance has set up a good friend of his, the masked good brother number 3, to come and help straighten things out. As Manders is crying in the cornfield, masked good brother number 3 shows up, introduces himself to Steve with some cold beer, lots of use of the word 3, and looks like good brother number 3 is going to pick up where Mance Warner left off. So, yeah, we are totally Charlie Brown from out of towning it. It is going to be great, ladies and gentlemen. We're drinking, we got masks, we got plaid jackets, like all the things in life that I happen to love. So, I'm still looking forward to this, though, on a positive note. We then go back ringside. It is time for our triple threat tag team match as the main event battle Austin Luke and Lucky 13 and Wasted Youth. Most of these folks are making their debut with MLW, except for the main event, who MLW just continuously burying, besides like putting over like, oh, they're a prominent member of the tag team division. Yeah, they're a prominent member of the tag team division that maybe won one match. They're Jimmy Lloyd. Oh, that hurt me to say. But the bell rings anyway. So, a whole lot of chaos. It just breaks down. The main event, clear the ring and do some tandem offense on the combination of Lucky and Austin Luke. However, Wasted Youth come in and do a lot of tandem offense to the main event. Some gnarly stuff. Like, Wasted Youth, if you haven't seen them, those kids can go. They're really young, but they're really good already. Had a banger of a match a couple months ago for the IWTV Tag Team Championship that they came up short on, but like really good match. However, eventually Lucky and Luke do take over once things like calm down. We actually get like real rules in this here match. Not that there are rules and it's no DQ and whatever. But Lucky and Luke work over Marcus Mathers. Lion gets tagged in and just cannonballs everyone for a whole lot of fun. Jumps through a hoop of real fire to the outside with his variation of a sope con hilo. Grand finale inside the ring, the pop-up face buster, but that pin gets broken up by 13. Big pop-up kick onto Midas Black, only gets a 2 count. Wasted Youth come in, clean house, and hit a variation of more bang for your buck on Lucky 13 to pick up the victory. Whole lot of crazy stuff on here. We're not technically done yet, as Joe Dombrowski's with Wasted Youth. They've been looking for a place to call their own, a place that won't treat them like a bunch of misfits and outcasts, and I think they've found their spot here in MLW. But yeah, crazy go nuts. Tag team match, you know, triple threat rules are always lead to a lot of chaos. Everyone got their stuff in. It was a lot of fun. We kind of got to see a little bit of what everybody can do. Whereas I am sad that main event took the L here. I can't complain too much because really there's no real like losers in this match. I would have been there's nobody I wanted to lose in this match. No matter which team would have picked up the win, I would have been happy for them for various reasons. Wasted Youth got to win because I mean they're one of the tag teams of the future in professional wrestling. It is a chance for Lucky 13 to kind of get his flowers on a quasi-televised product, or you know, the main event could pick up the win finally and kind of like, you know, shake off the stink of abject failure that they've been accumulating the last handful of months or so. But that said, it looks like MLW's going all in on Wasted Youth, so it's, you know, I may sound kind of dejected, but this is a good thing, man. I'm totally down for Wasted Youth becoming kind of a face of the tag team division. All right, we get an Alex Kane. Oh, excuse me. I cut things way off because I fell asleep or something at the wheel. We get a short promo video on kind of like the downfall of Alex Hammerstone, him losing the championship, disappearing for months, then requesting his release before signing with WTF. We get a WTF promo highlight. Well, it highlights Bishop anyway. Tom Lawler's talking all about how cool new member Josh Bishop is. Hammer is going to show everyone what a real faction is with his new BFFs and Mr. Saint Laurent as well. Following that, we go backstage. It's Selena De La Renta and Rocky Romero. Dorada is not up to par, according to Romero. And yeah, Rocky is a Zucar. And he's going to show Dorada what the gold standard really is. All right, let's take a pause for the cause. Take a breath, get an energy drink, do what it is you will. I'll be back un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like Cass, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back, and we got some featherweight action coming up here as Zeta Steel battles Gia Scott. Scott out wrestles and out powers Steel very early on. However, Scott is allowed to, take a break from offense by taking a nasty rake to the eyes by Zeta Steel. Zeta takes over for a bit, hits a back kick to Scott's face. That looked gnarly. He only getting a two count out of that, though. Scott comes back and with a big Uranagi for two. However, Zeta just out of nowhere hits a quick double leg and does a quasi jackknife pin using the ropes for leverage to get the 1-2-3. Your winner, Zeta Scott. Zeta Steel. There's a Scott, there's a Steel, there's a Gia. I'm slacking tonight, man. Anyway, so Zeta Steel picks up the victory by using the ropes on Gia Scott. There we go. Think I got this figured out. Anywho, it looks like Joe Dombrowski is going to be interviewing Zeta Steel when he is interrupted and called creepy by Mr. Saint Laurent. Because that dude, if any of us knows creepy, it's MSL. He sweet talks Zeta, you know, putting over all of her fun faux statistics, whole checklist style, before finally offering her a contract with the World Titan Federation. She thinks it over briefly, signs the contract on MSL's very back. Like, that's how serious this is, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Saint Laurent offered his back to sign the contract, which Zeta does. They go prancing off into the sunset. We have an Alex Kane promo following this. Cardona's going to get paid back in blood, because Bomaye, Bomaye, Bomaye. Speaking of WTF kind of things, Tom Lawler gets some solo promo time, and he's finally he's excited because he's finally going to get his hands on WTF's biggest fans, the Bomaye Fight Club. That's our main event tonight. But as soon as they're done with that, he's got some other fish to fry in the form of Satoshi Kojima, a battle of former MLW champions, and people call Kojima the best champion that MLW's ever had, and Lawler's taking offense to that, and he's going to take it out on Kojima. Kojima at One Shot, a match that I am looking so very forward to, by the way. We also get another interlude from Mr. Saint Laurent. He is excited for One Shot, which is being promoted by the WTF. And we're also going to see the debut of Body by Saint Laurent. It's a bodybuilding competition. And we're also going to get American the Beautiful sung by an actual American idol, since the deal to get a holographic Aretha Franklin fell through. So going to get some music. We're going to get some bodybuilding, and we are just going to go all in on the WWF references, aren't we? But that's okay, because you know what? It's time for a main event. Can't go wrong with that. It is the WTF, Alex Hammerstone, Tom Lawler, and the debuting Josh Bishop take on the Beaumaye Fight Club, represented by Jay Bougie, Mr. Thomas, and the big bad kaiju O'Shea Edwards. Just want to note for this match, Tom Lawler is not wearing jorts. He is wearing actual shorts with his jort tights underneath them. Anywho, yeah, so, bell rings. It just breaks down. I'm not even sure they waited for the bell to ring before they all just start clubbering on each other. That's how bad they were wanting to go at each other. And I want to just see how many times I can say each other in the progress of this brother. Each other's brother. Whatnot. Anyway, yeah, so eventually things calm down. We do get one-on-one, Jay Bougie versus Tom Lawler, and once that happens, the Beaumayes aren't faring so well, as Bougie falls to the much larger Lawler, because, I mean, Lawler's not that big, but Bougie's kind of tiny. But, like, no matter, he's plucky, and he's going to, oh dear, he's going to get beaten by much larger people than Tom Lawler. Yeah, so Lawler uses his wrestling skills to kind of take over, and we start getting tags to the big guys, Hammerstone and Bishop, and they just quick tags, just tee off on poor little Bougie. Just all of them just take turns on it. However, after some shenanigans, Bougie hits a big German suplex and a swinging EDT on Tom Lawler to get the tag to Mr. Thomas. Things kind of break down from there, and all of the WTF crew are outside the ring, and Mr. Thomas hits a tope con ilo. Like, dude just somersaults over the top rope to the floor, lands on his feet when he's not crashing onto people. We go to break, and somehow Bougie's the legal man, which seems like a terrible idea when you have an O'Shea Edwards outside the ring as well. Hits a big springboard cutter and a rocket launcher with Mr. Thomas. However, that gets broken up, and basically things just kind of break down, and Bougie's left alone with Alex Hammerstone, which is never great. Hammer hits a big pump kick, and then the Nightmare Pendulum. Tom Lawler, who is evidently the other legal man, comes in, hits the 3 count for the team. Match is over. I'll give my thoughts about it before we kind of talk about the end of it. No, we'll skip the thoughts. Like, it's chaos, because it doesn't really stop. Like, so the bell rings, and everything continues to break down. Both teams are brawling. Looks like WTF is going to stand tall when Alex Kane's music hits. He starts making his way to the ring when he is jumped by Matt Cardona. And so it all breaks down again. Security comes out. They're getting, like, shoved away and beaten on by the WTF faction. It's just pandemonium run wild. However, when it looks like WTF is going to stand tall, the Beaumayes come back and fight off the invading force to end the show in a visual victory, if nothing else. Yeah, so this match was also crazy go nuts. A lot of stuff happening in a very short period of time. Chaos in the best way, actually. The match is very entertaining. If I have to nitpick things, like, O'Shea Edwards, kaiju, got no, like, visual offense in. Like, he would just be in part of, like, the crowd brawls, clubbering on things, but, like, he was never, like, a legal participant in the match, and so I thought that was an interesting choice, whereas everybody else in the match got featured in some way, shape, or form. Jay Bougie showing some major heart, taking the beating he did, especially from, like, getting, like, a double choke slam from Bishop and Lawler, which I thought was interesting that Lawler was gonna be part of the double choke slam, because he's the smallest guy on his team. game and not that big of a dude to boot. But yeah, so like I thought that was kind of interesting that we didn't get to see Kaiju, and that kind of upsets me as a big Kaiju fan. But, you know, the match itself was not bad by any stretch of the imagination, and really kind of like the chaos shows that nothing was settled going into next week's World Championship match. So we'll see how that goes. So that being said, this was actually like the longest episode of Fusion in quite some time. A lot of chaos to be had in various forms with the two tag team matches and then, of course, the Thumbtack death match in there as well. WTF seems to continue their talent acquisition drive, going to drive out those pesky small territories by signing all the big names to their company and whatnot. We got the debut of Good Brother number 3, at least on screen. We'll see him in action some year. And of course, we are looking forward to One Shot next week. It's going to be a pretty darn good card, actually. Like, I'm pretty psyched for it. As much as I'm psyched about Kojima Lawler, like, the rest of the card is pretty darn cool as well. So, thoroughly bitchin' episode of Fusion to be had, despite some of my sarcasm in there. Yeah, there's a whole lot going on. There's a lot of stuff that I enjoy, just the whole kind of like the chaos aspect of it. So if that's not your bag, I'm sorry, but I had fun anyway, and really, I'm the guy with the microphone living in my mother's basement, so I think really that's all that matters. Except that's a lie, because all that matters is you, the listener. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to this here podcast. Do appreciate it. Stay tuned for all the plugs and the best ways you can help support everything. In the meanwhile, I bid you all adieu.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, where for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.